98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
Yeah, 4 o'clock every day. Gambo and I run through the top stories of the day, give you our reactions to the top stories of the day. It is appointment listening. It is the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Gambo, we start and we'll end with the Cardinals as well. Matt Prater, kicking off week 18, and yes, we did intend the pun, by collecting his second NFC Special Teams Player of the Week award, 4 field goals and an extra point in their win against the Cowboys. My question, does he share the award with Andy Lee and Aaron Brewer?
Because
it seems like
without them,
those two guys are pretty essential to the operation. I think Matt Prater should share the award with those.
I mean, how many points did he leave on the board against the Colts? Was it 7?
7. Yeah, 2 field goals,
two field goals and a missed extra point.
Yep. Yep.
And then he comes back and he's, you know, lights out in this game. Yeah, I mean, I would think that he shares the award. At least a steak dinner or something,
right? At least a steak dinner for those two guys for getting him that second NFC Special Teams Player of the Week award. Hub Arkish, a veteran Chicago sports writer, told 670 The Score radio station in Chicago on Tuesday he will not cast his NFL MVP vote for Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
I take his vote away from him.
And here's the reason why.
I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player. Has he been the most valuable on the field? Yeah, you could make that argument, but I don't think he is clearly that much more valuable than Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp or maybe even Tom Brady. And so from where I sit, the rest of it is why he's not going to be my choice.
You say take his vote away from him?
Play the first, 5 seconds of that and stop after he says the punish part, please.
I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization. Punish me!
Home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I'll take it. I'll take the punishment.
Yeah.
I'll take the punishment. You can punish me and give me what he's given to their fans right now. I'll take it.
Aaron Rodgers commented today.
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was probably until yesterday's comments. And I listened to the comments, but to say he had his mind made up in the summertime, in the offseason, that I had zero chance of winning MVP, in my opinion, should exclude future votes.
He's a bum.
These people that don't want to vote, like for Curt Schilling, you don't want to vote for Curt Schilling in the Hall of Fame? Why? You don't like his political stances? Come on, the guy was a great pitcher. One of the best money pitchers in the history of the game. Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame. Aaron Rodgers, you don't like what he's done or what he said? Man, you got to take that. And here's the other point. He's saying you're right, you don't know the guy. How do you know the guy?
Yeah.
You don't know the guy. How many good things has Aaron Rodgers done? I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is a really good person. Now, everybody's got problems. He's got problems with his brother and family. Everybody has issues like that. Okay, he's not alone when it comes to that. But to say I'm not going to vote for him when you don't even know him, I think that's ridiculous.
Word over the weekend was that the Jags would hold a remote interview with Bucs defensive coordinator Todd Bowles this week. And reportedly, it has happened. They have interviewed Todd Bowles, former Cardinals defensive coordinator, of course, former Jets head coach, to be the next head coach in Jacksonville. We'll see if he gets it. Doug Peterson has interviewed for the gig. Jim Caldwell has interviewed for the gig. Jacksonville's interviewing a lot of guys, Gambo.
A lot of people think Byron Leftwich could end up getting a job, too, at some point.
Yeah.
Brady speaks very, very highly of Byron Leftwich.
Given that one of the most important things about that job is to mold Trevor Lawrence into a franchise quarterback, yeah, you could see that potentially being an offensive guy who gets the gig. The NFL, according to a report, is looking into contingency plans for the Super Bowl. The Grammys, which are supposed to be in L.A., are going to be rescheduled. They were scheduled for January 31st, but with COVID, they're not going to happen. And the NFL reportedly is looking at the same thing. The Super Bowl is scheduled to be played in L.A. on February 13th. The NFL confirmed they are looking at alternative sites, Gambo. That includes AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Doesn't say anything about State Farm Stadium. Of course, we're going to have the game a year from now, so it probably wouldn't be us. But the NFL does confirm it's looking around at other places.
But why?
Well, you know what? You're right.
Why?
I don't know for sure why it couldn't be us. I just would assume that because we've got...
Why do they need an alternative site?
In case there are restrictions in Los Angeles that would keep the building from being full? That would be why.
I told you before how much I hate Los Angeles or California.
Wow, they're preparing themselves just in case.
Hey, you can live in California, free house. No, thank you. No, thank you. Give it to somebody else. I'll pass. I'll visit, but I will not stay.
That would be the reason why. But our top story of the day today on the Burns and Gambo Show, the health status of the Arizona Cardinals, who are back on the practice field today. We haven't seen an official injury report yet, but when we do, we'll pass it along. We can tell you that based off of observers at practice, that James Conner was out there for a little bit, Chase Edmonds was not. And we can also confirm that after practice, Cliff Kingsbury giving an update on his corners, Robert Alford and Marco Wilson, and it wasn't a very good one.
Yeah, it is. That doesn't look great for return. Within the next couple of weeks, at least. And then Marco's really day-to-day, trying to get that shoulder feeling good enough to practice and start getting back into it. So we'll see how that plays out this week.
Now, just to be clear, it was Alford he was speaking of when he said it doesn't look good for the next couple of weeks.
Right.
Marco Wilson was the one he said he's trying to get his shoulder back. He's kind of more of a day-to-day state. So Robert Alford doesn't sound like he's walking through that door anytime soon.
No, I don't think either one of those guys is going to play. You know, yesterday when I came up with some of the information on guys that were going to be back today, those guys were back, but I was not hearing good stuff on the two cornerbacks. So I'm a little concerned about the cornerback position. I might have to go with what they have. They got Breshad Breeland. Now, one of the things I'm going to try to find out, is it possible that he, you know, they protected him on the practice squad.
Yep.
Is it possible that he could play on Sunday, or is he just you're available if we need you for the playoff game? I mean, that I don't know yet. I don't know if he can, you know, get up to par with everything this quickly and be able to go out there and play on Sunday against Seattle. But I'm not expecting Alford to play, and I really wouldn't even be surprised with Marco. We'll see.
Here's what Cliff said about Breshad Breeland and that practice squad.
I hope so. You know, I think this week he's got to try and get caught up as much as possible heading into the playoffs, and he's played in this league, played at a high level, and we're hoping that he can pick it up and contribute. We'll see how it all progresses.
You mentioned protecting guys on the practice squad. There was one other guy. There were three other guys who were protected, but one other corner on that list, Kevin Peterson, was also protected on the practice squad by the Cardinals. As far as the running backs go, as I mentioned, Chase was not on the field. James Conner was. Cliff said both are day-to-day.
They'll be day-to-day. Yeah, we'll see how they progress throughout the week. Those are two guys that we, you know, need healthy moving into the playoffs, obviously. So we got to be smart with them. But if they can go, we'll definitely try to get some work.
Yeah, and we talked about that.
There's your answer. Need healthy moving into the playoffs. I mean, you know, without giving too much away, they need to be healthy moving into the playoffs. He didn't say they need to be healthy for this game. They need to be healthy for the playoff game. If either one of those guys is banged up, they're not going to play. I mean, you have the playoffs locked up. You're going to play a playoff game. You'll try to win this game against Seattle as best you can with the guys you have that are available. And if Kyler's got to play the whole game, they'll do whatever they can to, but they're not going to play guys that are banged up. They're going to get those guys healthy for the playoff game.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. It's been a while. Outside of the Detroit game, it has been a while where both James Conner and Chase Edmonds have been available at the same time for the Cards. It would be really nice to have that for the playoff game, because when they were both available and you had that true 1-2 punch at that position, that was a weapon the Cardinals were able to deploy to a great amount of success early in the season. And it's been a while. A long while since the Cardinals have been able to enjoy that. It would be nice to have that for the playoff game, no matter who they play. That is the priority when it comes to the running backs. Seattle is not the priority when it comes to the running back. And I think Cliff has made that pretty clear, frankly, when it comes to those two. I would expect everybody else, man, if they can at least try to go, they're probably going to give it a go. But those two guys, they're going to be really careful with those two guys.
Yeah, they have to be. And because, you know, you look at that stretch where they played really good football. Both guys were playing well, contributing. And then you're right, they went through this long period of stretch where those guys didn't play together a whole lot. And I think it hurt James Conner that he didn't have Chase. And then I think it hurts Chase not to have James. I mean, I just think that they're good complementary. It's a good 1-2 punch. So I think they're going to do everything they can to make sure that both of those guys are healthy for this game. And you know what? If you got to roll out, you know, Benjamin and Ward in this game, then that's who you roll out. And
Yep. They're
your running backs.
Yep. Barrett Jackson going to be celebrating 50 years as the world's great collector car auction. It returns to Westworld of Scottsdale on January 22nd through the 30th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for your complete details and your chance to win tickets. The Suns once again proved it doesn't matter what they're dealing with. It would seem as long as they've got one or two guys, they're going to be just fine. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Basketball into the hands of Chris Paul. Paul driving, gets it into Biyombo. In for a jam. Count it. And the big fella is fouled.
Bismack Biyombo is the talk among all Suns fans today. 16 points, 6 boards, 3 blocks last night in the 123-110 win over the New Orleans Pelicans as the Suns go 2-1 on their 3-game road trip. Gambo, it does, I think, a little bit of a disservice, and I understand why everyone's talking about Bismack Biyombo. He threw the ball down with some authority and just seamlessly fit right into what the Suns were doing, especially down the stretch. But, man, there are a lot of guys to talk about out of last night's game. Chris Paul had 15 assists and really seemed like he was in complete control of that game. Devin Booker had another huge night shooting the basketball. 33 points, 12 of 24. I know we come to expect that from Book, and we come to expect that from Chris Paul. That doesn't mean that every now and then we shouldn't say, hey, you know what? I know we're all used to Devin Booker having a good game. Devin Booker had a really good game last night, and I know we're used to having Chris Paul having a good game. He was really good last night, too. So just a moment so we can share with everybody how good those two stars were for the Phoenix Suns last night, because they were spectacular.
And Book had to sit.
Yeah.
Like the Book sat for about 7.5 minutes in that third quarter, right? That stretch third quarter into the fourth. Book sat the final 7:33 of the third quarter. And then he didn't start the fourth. And then in the fourth quarter, Monty eventually, when it got to 95-91, I think that's when he decided, okay, I got to get Book back in. So he brought back Book and Biyombo at about a minute into the fourth quarter, and he said, because Book had 4 fouls.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't play the final 7:33, just sat on the bench that whole time because he had that foul trouble. So he had that great game even while he sat for so long and got cold.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Mikal Bridges had a season high, 23 last night. He made more than 50% of his 3-point shots. Cam Johnson was so good that after the game, Monty Williams said, I want him to shoot the ball even more than he's shooting it now.
I think they should be higher. That's what I think. I think he should shoot the ball every chance he gets. I think his teammates want him to, our staff wants him to. If you look at the minutes, that's probably got a lot to do with it also. But I think he's just playing with a great deal of not just personal confidence, but team confidence. He knows that guys want him to shoot the ball. He's typically in the right spots. And that, you know, I've said this for a while, he's in much better condition to play the kind of basketball we want him to play. Sometimes it takes guys a couple of years to get their bodies right as a young player to play this kind of basketball.
Yeah, I know we're all about Bismack Biyombo and Jalen Smith. Man, Cam Johnson is really, not just in these 5 games with Jay Crowder and COVID protocols, but really since the middle to the end of November, Cam Johnson is playing a crazy good brand of basketball right now.
Yeah, he's hit, and Murata brought this up, right? He's hit 2 or more 3-pointers in 20 straight games. So 20 straight games that lose at least 2 3-pointers. He got off to a little bit of a slow start this year, too, but he has come on. You know, I said since like December, he had a great December. I mean, he was just fantastic in that game. So he's just constantly improving, constantly getting better. He's more than just a shooter, but his elite shooting. And, you know, again, we talked about the bigs. How does a guy like Bismack Biyombo and Jalen Smith come in and play? Why do they play so well? Well, they got one of the best point guards that's ever played the game. I mean, the guy's freaking throwing behind the back passes to guys for dunks. I mean, that's how silly it is.
Yeah.
And then they've got all these shooters. Like all of these crazy shooters that make it real easy. Like you can't leave. You're gonna leave Book out alone. You're gonna leave Cam Johnson. You know when Landry's a shooter. When they've just got so much shooting, the Suns do, and at such an elite level point guard that I mean it's real easy for these bigs to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you saw it last night. There was a stretch where late in the game it was the 2-man game with Paul and Biyombo, and eventually New Orleans kind of had to run some action to try to counter that, and the minute they did, kick out to Book, 3-pointer, right? The minute they started to collapse a little bit, because Paul and Biombo were eating them alive, then that gives Book, and he doesn't need that much space, just enough to be able to get that shot off, and it just kind of creates that separation. And, of course, in the middle of all of this is Chris Paul, and we can sit here and talk about this unbelievable year that JaVale McGee has been having before he had COVID, and that Jalen Smith had when he came in to fill in for McGee, and Bismack Biyombo's had when he came in off the street. And it goes to show Chris Paul's ability to make big guys look really good over the course of his career. He's doing it now with the Suns. Vinny Murata, you mentioned him. He pointed it out earlier. That's the fifth big man this year that Chris Paul has made look really, really good as part of this offense. And I'm not saying they're not good players. Chris Paul just knows how to bring out the very best in those guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you that pick and roll last night, I mean, you and I was looking at this one portion in the game. You go later in the game, Biyombo has a dunk off the behind-the-back pass from Paul. It's 88-73. You look at the, you know, later on in the fourth quarter, Biyombo gets a dunk from Chris Paul to make it 105-101. Biyombo with a dunk off a pass from Chris Paul and a foul, three-point play, 114-103. I mean, these baskets, it's not like he's setting these guys up for 15-foot jump shots. I'm setting you up for a dunk. Like, you're not going to miss it. Like, I mean, the easiest baskets these guys have ever gotten in their life. Bismack Biyombo had three dunks directly off of Chris Paul passes in the second half of that basketball game.
Yeah, he did. He did. I mean, it's
high percentage shots, my friend.
Yep, high percentage shots. And credit Biyombo for kind of understanding spacing and where he needs to be and kind of the flow of the offense and how it all works, right? But Chris Paul has, you know, just his willingness to be able to throw a no-look pass to a guy who's been on the roster for about 5 days and know that that pass is going to get finished. It's a testament to Chris. It's a testament to Bismack Biyombo. And, you know, we had James Jones on the show earlier, and we'll, you know, dive into this a little bit deeper. But I'll tell you, the short answer from James on, you know, can you keep Bismack Biyombo beyond this 10-day contract was, maybe. We'll see. I mean, it's certainly something that's under consideration. He made it sound like Biyombo was a guy they had their eye on during the offseason.
Yeah, he was.
In the hopes that he'd be able to join him. And so they might, now that they've got him, they might hold on real tight to him.
Yeah. And you got to factor that in, too, right? I mean, same thing with Torrey Craig last year, right? When we talked about Torrey Craig, they liked Torrey Craig before they got him. With Biyombo, I mean, yeah, I would think the same thing. I mean, I would think that there's a chance that they could sign him for the rest of the season. Now, if he plays well, 10-day contract's over. Maybe there's other options out there for him. But remember, the Suns still have, you know, part of that mid-level. They've still got part of that biannual. The Suns are in a pretty good spot to sign him for the rest of the season if they want him. I think there's a good chance that they will. I can't see why they wouldn't, because again, that, you know, you when we talked to James, what did he say? It's not about insurance. It's about just building the deepest team we can build. It's not like I'm looking at, I need this insurance policy. It's like, let's make sure we're deep. So if we're missing DeAndre Ayton and Abdul Nader and JaVale McGee and Jay Crowder, we can still win basketball games. And they have.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Kyler Murray, he's going to be playing in his first ever NFL playoff game in a week and a half. Win, lose, how does that impact Kyler Murray's career at this point in his career? We'll talk about it coming up. Burns and Gambo. We're live from the Oxygen Community Studios here on this Wednesday afternoon. It's 4:30, so it's time to get an update on our Suns-related Twitter poll question of the day. So let's turn it over to Mitch.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
We had a question like this about Frank Kaminsky a couple of months ago. We could have had a question like this about Jalen Smith about a week ago. Now we've got a question like this about Bismack Biyombo.
At this point, we're going to be asking it about MJ Walker, as long as he's still here.
Maybe not. You might be reaching a little far on that one. But we did get the Gambo retweet on this one, so I'm assuming we've got about 5,000 votes on it.
Pretty close, 1,000.
There you go. It's the power of the Gambo retweet. I never doubt it. What do you got for our poll question today?
Okay, so we're discussing the recent positive play from Jalen Smith and Bismack Biyombo, but we're twisting it a bit because we're now assuming that DeAndre Ayton and JaVale McGee are good to go and they get their normal minutes account. But should more minutes be allocated to Jalen Smith and Bismack Biyombo as sort of a reward, so to speak?
Sure.
Yes
Why
or no?
Not? Why not?
Yeah, I a little.
Regular season.
Yeah, A little more. Not a lot more. I mean, and more than what? More than what Jalen Smith was getting before? And for Bismack Biyombo, just more. I mean, more than not playing every single day. I'm kind of with you on this one, Gambo. Why not at this point if it means... Because, look, come playoff time, no.
No.
You're not going to play Jalen Smith.
Nope.
And you're not going to play Bismack Biyombo unless it's a real, like, emergency. So why not save some bullets, save some miles on DeAndre Ayton and JaVale McGee for when it matters the most? I think you should play both of those guys a little bit more now moving forward. Yeah. What's our audience say?
A lot of the commenters in the replies are giving examples of putting the likes of Smith and Biyombo at the four and even running McGee and like a Biyombo at the same time or any of those alternatives and putting Cam Johnson to the three. Just some of the suggestions there, because the audience is very much so far in favor of giving them more minutes. 63.1%, 36.9% say no. Keep those minutes where they belong.
All right, you can vote on that. The Burns and Gambo Twitter page. One word on social media is where you can find it, at Burns and Gambo on Twitter. Give us a vote there if you would. While you're at it, please follow the show. It's a great way to kind of play along with the show while you're on social media when it comes to polls and making comments and things like that. Of course, the Cardinals are back on the practice field today. Kyler Murray spoke at practice today, and we'll get into some of the specifics of what he said. But obviously, he's, like a lot of people, trying to focus just on Seattle and then worry about the playoffs after that. But for Kyler, knowing that he's going to the playoffs in his third season, that is half the battle right there, just getting there for Kyler. How much, Gambo, do you think his early career legacy is riding on this playoff run when we're talking about Kyler Murray?
I mean, not a lot. I mean, not a lot. I don't like to what point? Like, he's 3 years into a career that might be a 15-year career. Like, how much weight do we want to put on how he plays in this playoff game? There's no, like, even Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, how crazy was it with Lamar? Lamar Jackson can't win a playoff game, right? Those first couple, oh my God. Well, he won a playoff game. But there was all that pressure on Lamar Jackson. I mean, Kyler hasn't played in one yet. Are you saying, like, if he loses it, there may be some pressure on him?
I'm saying, okay, I'm just going to read what I'm saying because I read the same thing you read this morning, and I just didn't know. I didn't know how to take this. To me, this just seemed way too extreme and way too hot or cold. There was a story on the Athletic website today, and in full disclosure, it was a power ranking, which you don't like very much, and quite frankly, neither do I. But I'm always interested in what they write about the team during the power ranking and about the Cardinals, whom they had ranked 8th, by the way, for what it's worth. A potential narrative flip is looming for Kyler Murray. Murray will either exit the playoffs as a thrilling talent the masses believe can lead a contending team all the way, or as a head-scratching quarterback still leaving onlookers wanting more. Is that how Kyler Murray is going to exit the playoffs? Is it going to be one or the other with no room for in-between, or is it even possible that both could be true, that Kyler Murray will exit the playoffs as a thrilling talent the masses can believe will lead a contending team all the way?
Okay, that's possible. Let's
and
take it one
a head-scratching quarterback? Okay, yeah, let's take him one at a time.
So let's take it one at a time. Is it possible that he leaves as a thrilling talent that believes, yeah, I mean, he could have one of those unbelievable games with two rushing touchdowns and two passing touchdowns, and he leads his team to a victory, and everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, sure. I mean, why not?
Okay.
Right?
Then the second part of the equation, could he lead the playoffs as a head-scratching quarterback still leaving onlookers wanting more?
Yeah, I guess that's possible too, right? I mean, if he goes out there and he has a bad game and he turns the ball over and he's shaking his head and he's, you know, he's antics on the sideline and look, Luka Doncic hasn't won a playoff game yet, and there's people scratching their heads, and they're wanting more from Luka. I remember RG3 in the playoffs. Remember that first with RG3, when like he lit it up, and everybody thought that he was going to be the next great quarterback. RG3, I think it was. Remember he played and he was injured. Remember
sure.
with Robert Griffin III, he played and he was injured. Lamar Jackson last year beat Tennessee. That was his first playoff win, but like before that there was all these questions about him, but he had a really good game against Tennessee and they won. But the narrative on him going into that game was, oh, Lamar Jackson can't win a playoff game. And so I don't know, I guess both are possible, but I wouldn't put too much into either one of them because I just think there's, you know, this kid's career future is really, really bright, and I think there's going to be a lot more playoff games for him.
You know, I'm hearing you talk, and all I can think about is Devin Booker. I've got going through my head is Devin Booker because it seems to me that the narrative, and we've been using that word a lot, but it seems to me the narrative about Book was almost exactly the same going into the playoffs. Like nobody knew exactly what to expect out of him. It was his first playoff run. How was he going to do with that pressure? How he was going to handle expectations? How he was going to do this? How he was going to do that? And obviously we know how it ended. Devin Booker thrived in that environment. Not every single game, not every single moment. Of course, he had his bad moments during the postseason. But for the most part, Devin Booker showed the world that he was more than ready to be a playoff-caliber player on a finals-caliber team and lead that team throughout. Now, I'm not saying the same thing's going to happen to Kyler Murray, but I'm saying the questions are the same for Kyler Murray. But I think you're right when you say that it's really unrealistic to think that question is going to get an answer after his very first playoff run. We are expecting multiple playoff runs for Kyler Murray. There's going to be more of these for Kyler Murray. I think we're all pretty confident in saying that. To decide now what kind of playoff player he's going to be after his first go around, I just don't know if you can make a statement like that for a 23-year-old kid, 25-year-old kid going to his first ever playoffs, you know?
Sure. I think there's just so much the third year. And I even just went back to look at RG3 in that playoff game that he had against Seattle. They were up 14-0. He threw a touchdown pass to Evan Royster. He threw a touchdown pass to Logan Paulson. And then, you know, there was all this, oh, my God, if at first quarter against Seattle, everybody thought Robert Griffin, RG3 was going to be the next great thing. And he got hurt, and he, you know, obviously his career was never the same. I think that I think if you take the two things we talked about, I think there's more of a chance that he comes out with the top one, like thrilling everybody. Than having people scratching their heads. Because he's just that type of talent that could do things that other quarterbacks in this league can't do. So I think there's more of a chance that he can have one of those games you're like, oh my God, look what he did.
Yeah.
More so than if Kyler Murray throws an interception and they lose a playoff game, and I don't know that people are going to be scratching their heads being like, oh, what do the Cardinals have in Kyler Murray? We know what they have in Kyler Murray. They're going to pay him. They're going to keep him. He's their quarterback. So I just don't think there's going to be as much of the head scratching unless he makes like a ton of bad decisions.
Well, and that's the thing. And now you've got me thinking about this kind of another way too. And there's a lot of different ways to come at a question like this. Is that I'm thinking to myself that if you're truly an elite quarterback, like an elite quarterback in this league, that we have an expectation that when you make the playoffs, you're going to play like one, you know? And I'm thinking back to the Aaron Rodgers, and I'm thinking back to the Peyton Mannings, and I'm thinking back to the Tom Brady's and the Russell Wilson's, et cetera, et cetera, to the Drew Brees, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking that for them, in part what defined that their greatness was that in moments like this, they were great. And that if we really want to consider Kyler Murray to be one of the elite quarterbacks in this league, he almost is required to be great in a moment like his first playoff game because that's what the greats before him have done. Does that make any sense? Like that's sort of the trail that has been blazed for Kyler Murray. Hey, if you want to be elite, elite quarterbacks take this moment and they run with it. They take this moment and they're great in this moment. And if you want to be a part of that club, you have to be great too. That doesn't mean you have to win three games and go to the Super Bowl, but you have to ball out in your first ever playoff experience if you want to be a part of that club. And there's a part of me that thinks that that's a very fair way of looking at this
maybe, in the perspective of
Kyler Murray.
The guy I keep thinking about now is John Elway, but I can't really remember if Elway, because he lost a bunch, he didn't win until like late in his career. He won back-to-back Super Bowls very late in his career. But I remember him getting clobbered by the Giants in the Super Bowl, just clobbered. But I don't remember if it was Elway having bad games or if it was the team. I remember they couldn't run for a little bit. But, you know, Elway's the guy that comes to mind to me, and eventually he won. He was a great quarterback, but he wasn't winning Super Bowls early in his career. He got the team to the playoffs a whole bunch of times. So I don't know. It's interesting. I'm fascinated by the conversation. on do you know what the expectations are. But let's take it another way. Justin Herbert may be in the playoffs this year. Joe Burrow may be in the playoffs this year. Kyler Murray, you think about all the younger quarterbacks that could be in the playoffs this year. What if it's Trey Lance for San Francisco?
Yeah.
And they get in, you know? So you've got all, you know, the expectations can't be that all these young guys win. They're all not going to.
No, but I think the mantle, and it's taken us the long road to get here, but I think the mantle of the next great young quarterback may very well be defined by which one of those three does the best over these next few weeks.
But Josh Allen took the Bills to the AFC Championship last year. And when we got to this year, we're like, oh, that's what Kyler has to do to get paid. He's got to have the numbers, and he's got to have the success and the wins like Josh Allen did.
Well, he's had the wins during the regular season. But in part, you know, now he's got the, now there's another step he's got to take, right? He had, they're 11-5. In that regard, he had a Josh Allen type season in terms of how many games they won. What did the Bills win? 13 games last year? I think they were 13-3, if I remember right. So he didn't have quite the Josh Allen year, but he had one that was.
Allen took a step back this year.
He did. I mean,
more interceptions, less touchdown passes. Quarterback rating a lot different. I mean, he was good, but he wasn't, you know, he's still really good, but completion percentage was down by 5. His yards right now are down by about 400.
Yeah.
Touchdowns are down by 3. Interceptions are up by 5. I mean, he didn't have the same year that he had last year.
And nobody was talking about Josh Allen as an MVP candidate for most of the year, outside of maybe a week here or a week there. He wasn't in the conversation. I don't know. It's legacy and future and big picture questions like that. Man, just go out and win a game. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, two guys making noticeable impact for the Suns are going to create some tough decisions for the team going forward. How should the Suns handle the futures of Bismack Biyombo and Cam Johnson? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
Arizona Sports, breaking news.
We welcome you back into the Burns and Gambo show, and we do have breaking news, and it comes from the Twitter accounts of our own Kellen Olson from ArizonaSports.com. DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, and JaVale McGee are no longer in health and safety protocols, but are out for tomorrow's game against the Clippers in order to get their conditioning back. Abdul Nader and Landry Shamet are still under the protocols.
All right, there you go.
So that's the news.
There you go.
And to be honest with you, we had James Jones on the show earlier today for his semi-weekly visit with us. He kind of said the same thing without directly saying it. He kind of suggested that those guys were, their progress in the health and safety protocols were being very closely monitored, but he expressed a little concern about their conditioning and how, you know, what was the line he said? You can't just lay in bed with COVID. You have that?
Get up and play.
That. I mean, we're still evaluating where those guys are. They're clearing protocols, but as we all know, it's very difficult to just come off of a 6 or 7 day hiatus and just start playing games. So the hope is that we'll get Jay, DeAndre, some reps and hopefully get them back in the next few days. But as far as tomorrow's game, we're still uncertain about that.
All right, Mitch played that for me back here at the station. Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate you playing that. So there's the news. Ayton, Crowder, and McGee, they're out of the COVID protocols, but because it's been so long since they've played a game, they're giving them the Clippers game off tomorrow so they can get their conditioning back. There you go.
Right. And that's part of what we, you know, talked about all along. I know that they were targeting the Clippers game on the 6th, which is tomorrow, to get those guys back from. But it's part of it is ramping those guys back up and not just throwing them back out there and making sure that, you know, that they get their conditioning so that they can go out there and play the way they're expected to.
Yeah, and again, this is the luxury of being 29-8, and this is the luxury of being able to have Jalen Smith play as well as he has and Bismack Biyombo play as well as he has, and have Cam Johnson, frankly, play as well as he has. You've got guys who have more than made up for the absence of the players that you're missing, and because of that, you want to take a game or two to get their conditioning up to speed? You can take a game or two to do that. You've built up plenty of equity, plenty of running room to be able to give yourself that opportunity to do that.
I mean, I would do it. These games just, you know, you hate to say it, but these games just don't matter. Like, they don't matter. Like, what matters is the playoffs. This positioning and everything, look, and making sure guys are taken care of, making sure they're healthy, all of that stuff's fine. Like, we're not going to look back at the end of the season and sit there and say, oh, my God, that loss to Boston. Remember that loss to Boston? Oh, God, that was just – remember when they didn't have their guys and they lost those two games? It doesn't matter. Like, it's just – when you're one of the top teams in the league, these games don't matter. Now, for other teams, you're fighting for playoff positioning and, you know, you're fighting to get in the playoffs. I get it. Like, your season matters more. And for the Suns to go from a team that was winning 20 games every year to a team that the regular season doesn't matter. I know it's absurd to think about it that way, but these freaking games don't matter.
Yeah, it's, you know,
they're
what
fun to watch.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's just so quick. We went from zero right. to 60 in about
a
second.
The outhouse to the penthouse.
Right, and we took the express elevator to get there, and we skipped all the other floors that you normally stop at on the way to you win 20 games a season to now the regular season really doesn't matter when the playoffs start, and we skipped all the other steps in between because this thing just went by so fast. And because of that, I mean, you're not wrong. It's not, and elite teams around the NBA have recognized this for years. It's the reason why they give LeBron James games off for maintenance. It's the reason why there are rest days. It's the reason why, you know, because there's just this understanding these games do not matter in the final analysis. Being as healthy as you can at the end is the only thing that matters in the final analysis.
Look, we're halfway through this freaking season. Are we looking at the Warriors and looking at their schedule and be like, oh, good, let's hope the Warriors lose this game and hope the Warriors are ahead of the Suns right now. They're ahead of the Suns. They would have the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But we're not sitting there looking at the Golden State Warriors schedule every day. And I can't even tell you who they're playing next. And so they got Dallas tonight. Oh, God, I hope that Dallas beats them. Oh, real hope Dallas. Oh, they got New Orleans Thursday. I hope New Orleans could beat them. And we're not looking at it like that. Because, again, like, there is such little emphasis on what happens in the regular season outside of trying to maintain, you know, being healthy yep. and getting into the playoffs with a healthy team.
There's no doubt about it. Now, that being said, with the win last night against the Pelicans, 123-110, it was the Bismack Biyombo show again, and we're going to get more of that tomorrow against the Clippers, undoubtedly, with the news today about no JaVale McGee, no DeAndre Ayton, clearing protocols, but they're not going to play him tomorrow night. There are the two guys who have really, and Jalen Smith is probably the third, but two of the guys who really popped last night were Bismack Biyombo and Cam Johnson. Let's have a conversation real quick about the two of those guys. Bismack, in terms of his ability to stick beyond the 10-day contract, and it certainly seems like that's a real strong possibility. The other is Cam Johnson. Given how well he's played for Jay Crowder during this five-game stretch as a starter, it does raise a lot of questions about, you know, what his short-term future is and what his long-term future is, talking about Cam Johnson now, in terms of his ability to replace Jay Crowder eventually at some point.
As long as James Jones is the general manager on this team, they're always going to have a couple of quality guys that could play along with Cam. And if it's Jay, it's Jay, and if it's not, it's not. Jay's got one more year left on his deal. It's a little bit over $10 million. And then he could be a free agent. You can't pay everybody, right? They paid McHale. They're going to have to pay DA. They're going to have to pay Cam Johnson. They're going to have to pay Book again. So there are big decisions coming up. You might not be able to look at Jay Crowder after his age 32 season and say, I want this guy back for 33, 34, and 35. Maybe you can if he gives you a good price and he's happy here and he wants to be here and he wants to win a championship here. Maybe you keep him. I like him. I mean, I'd like to keep him. But you can't pay everybody. So if, you know, if somebody wants to pay Jay, you know, a lot more than the Suns can pay him, you might lose him. But I have all the faith and confidence in the world that, you know, that Cam could start and play that position, or at least that James Jones would bring in somebody else, you know, to play alongside Cam Johnson at that position if Jay Crowder is not here in the future.
Yeah, as far as Biyombo goes, we'll get into this in a little bit because we're going to bring you some of the cuts from James Jones with our conversation earlier. I got the distinct impression that bringing back Biyombo is a keeping Biyombo, not bringing him back, keeping Biyombo is a real strong possibility for the Suns just based off of the fact that James indicated that before the season even started they had their eyes on Bismack Biyombo and were maybe hoping to convince him to come here. I get the impression he's going to be here beyond this 10-day contract.
They've got means to keep him, too. Because, look, the way he's played, maybe somebody else out there wants him and says, I could use a big that could block shots and run the floor and, you know, score and stuff like that, too, now that he's played. So there might be another team that says they want him. But the Suns do have, you know, the biannual is still left, and they still have part of that, you know, that exception that's left that they could use. So they have the means to give him a decent contract and keep him here if they decide they want to keep him. Based on the first two games, there's nothing not to like. I think the only thing to me would be, you know, he's not going to play over JaVale McGee and DeAndre Ayton. My question would be is, do you like him more than you like Frank Kaminsky? You know, do you like him more than you like Frank? And that could be, you know, that those two guys might have to battle for potential playing time against each other.
Yeah, it's the last week of the NFL season, which means you have one last chance to sign up for Bix Picks. Text the word pick to 620-620. Sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modelo Especial and a $500 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Again, text the word pick to 620-620 to enter. Kyler Murray understands the importance of finishing strong. In his opinion, Dallas was very much the get-right team and get-right game that this team needed going into the playoffs. You'll hear from the Cardinals quarterback next on the Burns and Gambo Show.